Does everybody have their palms? Anybody need some? Anybody not get them? Raise your hand. The ushers will give you some. We need it for part of your worship today. It's Palm Sunday, so you have to worship. It's part of worship. Scripture lesson is found in Luke 19. There's only three events in the life of Jesus that is recorded in all four of the Gospels. Feeding the 5,000 is in there. Of course, Easter is in there in all four Gospels. And Palm Sunday is in all four Gospels. So I'd like to read to you Luke chapter 19, verses 37 to 40. As they reached the place as the road started down the hill of the Mount of Olives, this is Jesus and the disciples. They're on the Mount of Olives, and they're starting down the hill toward toward Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives. All the followers began to shout and sing as they walked along. They began to shout and sing. Thank you, thank you. None of you would qualify to sing in the African children's choir. Because if they were here and I would say to them, if they were worshiping with us today, and I would say, they began to shout and sing, the roof would lift off this place. Are you a palm branch, waving and singing, or are you a... Uh-oh. Let me read this again. As they reached the place, as the road started down the hill to the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Hey, thank you, choir. You qualify. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest heavens. Now listen. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, my translation said some of the board members, but we won't get into that. Some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, Teacher, Jesus, rebuke your followers from saying things like this. Jesus replied, if they keep quiet,
the stones
will cry out. I don't hear anything. Palm Sunday. There's a lot of symbolism involved in Palm Sunday, a lot of prophecy from the Old Testament. Jesus rode on a donkey that had never been ridden before. He borrowed it from somebody who was all set for it. Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem as a conquering hero, but completely different from a Roman emperor. When a Roman king entered the city of Jerusalem, he came holding a sword, because the sword is a sign of victory, of battle. And he came on a big white horse, a steed. Jesus came in on an animal that was a work animal because he came to give his life for us. One part of the parade that is not mentioned very often on Palm Sunday is verse 40. The stones along the side of the road will burst out into cheers. Stones aren't mentioned much in Palm Sunday. The palms are. I'm going to put this up here because my back isn't going to last. Bend down and picking it up. Don't tell the pastor I scuffed the pulpit. I've never preached a sermon. I've never heard a sermon on the rocks on Palm Sunday would cry out. Your silence is deafening. We need that African choir back here to liven them up. How many were here for that? How many enjoyed that? How many would like to worship like that? You know, the rocks don't cry out, but they did. I was thinking of these children that were in the choir. They live in Africa in an environment that we can't imagine. Joyce and I have been to Africa twice, to the mission fields. And the way they live, you can't imagine what they talked about. No electricity, no running water. if you would live like that and come over here, you would sing like they did also. But we have everything so easy that we hold back. Some of the things I shouted as they rode into the city: Hosanna!
Hosanna.
Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Victory!
Victory!
Peace!
Peace!
Triumph!
Triumph!
Shalom!
Shalom!
I like this word. I don't know where I got it from. Tranquility.
Tranquility.
Stones are not mentioned frequently in the Bible. But when they are mentioned, it's not seemed to be in a positive light. Jacob stole his birthright from his twin brother and was fleeing back to his ancestral home. So the first night, he goes to sleep and he doesn't have a pillow. What does he use as a pillow? Woo-wee. That must have been some night's sleep. So that's not very inviting as a pillow. Anybody want a pillow? I got some up here. That's not too good. And another story is David and Goliath. Only a little boy named David, only a rippling brook. And what did he do? Five little stones he took, and one stone went into the sling, and the sling went round and round. See, you people from my era know these choruses. And the stone went up in the air, and the giant came tumbling. So that's not a very nice use. What do you remember it as? A stone? You killed Goliath. Well, it's good you killed Goliath, but that's not a very positive thing either. In the New Testament, stones are used. They bring the woman caught in the act of adultery to Jesus, and Jesus said, "Let he who is without sin do what?"
Yes.
Last night we went to see a movie. Should I tell them a movie we saw first? Make sure we went to see the Apostle Paul last night. And Joyce looked at the ticket and said it was in Theater 5. It wasn't in Theater 5. I'm sitting there and I'm saying, I don't remember this in the book of Acts. So we went to Theater 6 and saw Life of Paul. But one thing they had in there was Stephen was stoned to death. That's not very pleasant. That's not very pleasant. I don't know why these stones have such a bad reputation. Are you a stone or are you a waving palm? Cheer. Is it okay to cheer in church? Now, if you're at a basketball game, you cheer. A baseball game, yay. Because if you... You'd be upset if this thing cried out. I'll tell you, I'll get your attention then. We were created to cheer, to shout, to proclaim Jesus' victory, to proclaim Jesus as the King of Kings. Some parts of nature just naturally cry out the praises to the King of Kings. In the autumn, here we are, even the spring, I'm talking about fall already. The leaves, you ever notice the color of the leaves? They just sort of happen. Just sort of happens. I was watching the news this week and they showed the sunset over Boston. The beautiful colors, it's nature. Nature's caused us to see the beauty. It just happens. Flowers. Any croakers coming up yet around anybody's house? Yeah, you got croakers coming up? Ooh. Now, did you heat the ground up or do anything special?
Next to the house where the morning sun comes in.
Oh, so you need the house in the morning. Now, have they been in the dirt all winter?
Yes.
In the cold ground?
Yes.
Covered with snow?
Yes.
And now they cheer and burst forth. That's why that African choir can cheer, because they've been like the flowers in the dirt and the cold all winter, and it just naturally happens. Did it complain at all this winter, the flower, the bulbs? They didn't complain at all. And it just sort of happened, just naturally. Isn't God wonderful? Now, if he loves the flowers that much, just imagine what he can do for us. Sunrise. Here's another one. I didn't think I'd have to use it today. A snowflake. I asked my Sunday school, I teach a men's Sunday school class. I asked them the class one day this morning, we had a snowstorm. Does God create snowflakes individually, or does he do it all at once? I have questions for my class. I never have the answers. But think about that. And we complain about the snowflakes, but the snowflakes don't complain when they come down. Oh, they just happen because it's part of God's creation. And Palm Sunday is part of God's creation, so we should cheer. Now, I know Dallas was mentioning the services we have this week. I was watching TV this morning, and I had a preacher on, and he says, it's Palm Sunday, but every Sunday, every day, we should celebrate Easter. Easter we should celebrate every day. So we have some services this week, but focus on Easter, because that's where Jesus rose from the dead, and that's where we should celebrate. What the secret is with nature is it doesn't have a free will. God created it that way, but he created us with a free will, so we can cheer and shout, or we can be silent like the rocks. Also in our Sunday school class, I'm teaching the book of Mark, the miracles, and with almost every miracle, when Jesus healed the leper, when Jesus healed the crippled man, when Jesus gave sight back to the blind man, he said to them, don't tell anybody. Shh, be quiet. And what did they do? They told everybody. They shouted everything. They never kept quiet. Now, today is Palm Sunday, and Jesus is saying to us, now is the time to shout. Thank you, thank you. You're obeying Jesus when he says to shout it out. Because if you want to do something, this is the greatest week of the year because you can talk to people about Easter and what it means. Yesterday morning, I was looking out the kitchen window. I said, Joyce, there's a car parked across the street. And she said, it is the Jehovah Witness. I'm ready for them. They haven't been to my house in a year because I pray with them and I preach to them. And the girl opened the door and I said, are you ready for Easter? Are you ready for the resurrection of Jesus? She handed me an invitation and left. But what an opportunity this week is to shout and to praise the Lord for all he's done for us. It's not mum's the word. There's another stone associated with Easter and Holy Week. John chapter 20, verse 1. Early Sunday morning, early Easter Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found the stone had been rolled away. There's another stone. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I have a question. Once again, I don't have the answer, but I have a question. Maybe you can tell me afterwards. Who rolled the stone away? I read an article this week that said an angel did it. So I looked in the Gospels. It didn't say that. I wonder if Jesus, but did Jesus roll it away? Who rolled it away? It didn't need to be rolled away because Jesus was coming out. Because that Sunday evening, that Easter evening, he appears to the disciples, and the disciples are in the locked house. The windows are shuttered, the doors are locked, and whoosh, Jesus appeared. So I don't know who rolled the stone away, but it didn't need to be rolled away because Jesus was coming out. Whether it was there or not, he wasn't going to be held in. We can't celebrate Palm Sunday without focusing a little bit on Easter. The two are linked together. My favorite part of the Easter story is in John chapter 20, verse 1, and then starting in verse 11. I didn't check with the pastor if I could preach Easter on Palm Sunday, but he's not here to object, so I'll do it. My favorite part of the Easter story, I've just read part of it to you. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in to the tomb. She saw two white-robed angels sitting at the head and the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Why are you crying?" the angel asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him." She glanced over her shoulder and saw someone standing behind her. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. It's another question I have somebody can answer for me. How come she didn't recognize him? But she didn't recognize him. Why are you crying? Jesus asked her. Who are you looking for? She thought it was the gardener. She said, sir, if you know where they've taken him, tell me and I will go and get him. Now here's a part of Easter that I like. Mary. Now here's what was happening. Here's a tomb over here. Mary bends down and looks in, and she sees the two angels. She sees where Jesus had been laid, and somebody comes up behind her, and she doesn't know who it is. You know what the trouble with Mary's problem is? She's facing the wrong way. She's facing the tomb. The tomb's empty. It's over with. She has to turn around. We call it repenting. We call it turning around. We call it being born again. She turns around, and who does she see? Jesus. See, when she was facing the wrong way, she doesn't know where Jesus is. She has to turn around. And a lot of us who live our lives facing the wrong way, we don't see Jesus. And we have to turn around and see where he is. When I used to pastor, I used to end my Easter messages the exact same way every year. Next Sunday, Easter Sunday, is my birthday. I'm going to be 61. What are you laughing at? You don't think I'm that young? I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior my junior year in high school. And every year, Easter moves around because it can be over a 4 or 5 week span Easter can happen, depending on the moon cycle. So I always celebrate my birthday, my spiritual birthday, on Easter. And I'll be 61 years old. Walnut Street Baptist Church, Newark, New Jersey. When's your birthday? When's your birthday? Are you a rock? Silent? Or do you have something to shout about all the time? Would you bow your heads, please? Dear Jesus, I thank you for Palm Sunday. I thank you for the things that you've created. We enjoy the sunset. We enjoy flowers. We enjoy the colors of the leaves in the fall. But help us to appreciate the rocks also. Help us not to be like them. Help us to shout out with joy and excitement about the love of Jesus Christ that we have in our hearts. And as we celebrate Holy Week, I pray that we would take advantage of it. We'd be like waving palms to the whole world today. We get to hear about the love of Jesus. I thank you for my spiritual birthday. I thank you that I can celebrate it each year. And I pray that each person here would also have a spiritual birthday, where maybe they were like Mary, facing the wrong direction, facing the tomb where the rock has been rolled away, but they need to turn around. And I pray that in this service today, they would turn around and face Jesus and see all the glory and the majesty and the splendor of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Fill us with that joy and that peace and that excitement, Heavenly Father. I pray in your holy name. Amen.